Welcome back to the Weekend Wrap-Up Mix Show presented by Vocalo.org, 89.5 FM, Real Life Radio. I'm your co-host, Gabriel Mendoza.
And I'm Vivian Mikhail.
And we're pretty much, this is the last show of the year. I think we're going to go on a little hiatus until the new year. So we're going to try to get you all covered and up to date on some things going in and around the city. And talk a little bit about 2013, since it's only a few days away, and also the Mayan calendar is ending, or the end of the world is supposed to be ending this coming Friday on the 21st. So I think it's about a good time to get a show in, if this is our last show on this earth. You excited?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely excited for that. I don't know if, like, I should be taking it more, like, seriously. I mean, I'm not, like, even nostalgic. Like, you know, during, like, Y2K we were so prepared. This time I think people are just so, like, skeptical. I mean, I should care just in case, but I'm not. I'm just like, whatever. If it ends, I'm just going to take a lawn chair, sit in the front of my house and just watch everything unfold. So
there you go. There's something to the effect of that it's sort of it's blown out of proportion that it went, Mayan calendar stopped, and I seen this in the Tribune yesterday, and it's like something to the effect of there's a long form calendar that now exists that superseded the old calendar. It's some really goofy explanation, but if the end of the world comes, that's cool. I'm gonna be in Wisconsin, so I think I should be safe in the prairie lands, away from all the danger of the big cities, which normally get hit during these apocalyptic times. So I think I'm going to be good. The rest of you guys, good luck.
But I just love how that Tribune posted that article like a few days before it's supposed to happen. Like, I'm pretty sure they knew about that, like, way before.
Yeah.
Like, they knew there was, like, a prolonged calendar, but they just chose to make a movie out of this whole entire scare.
Yeah.
And to, like, make something out of it, like a campaign.
Yeah, I'm waiting for those stories of people who, like, quit their jobs and tell off their bosses, you know, like, because the world's supposed to end and whatever. I want to hear those stories. I'm waiting for that.
Yeah, me too. I'm waiting, you know, never mind. I don't know if it's appropriate to be on air. But
okay.
never mind. Well, I just know. Yeah, no. No. It's like one of my, recording, like, one of my coworkers, and during 1999, she was in high school, like New Year's Eve, and she's like, I just hooked up with every single guy in the club. And then she's like, when midnight hit, nothing happened. I was like, what the hell? Like, nothing happened. And now, like, I have all these guys coming after me.
Well, that's
I was supposed to say that. I was like, no, maybe I shouldn't.
That's really putting all your cards on the table there.
I know.
Betting the house, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's a learning experience, I suppose. We'll do that next year. It's sort of the end of the world for the Bears season, as they took another loss yesterday against the Packers, 21-13. Looks like the end of the Lovie Smith era here in Chicago, if they missed the playoffs again. I know you're not a huge football fan, but do you understand, like, the importance of these Packer-Bears games at all?
Yes, of course. Absolutely. Of course I do. I mean, when I say I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan, I get attacked by, like, everyone in the room. I pretty much guess the velocity of how important these games are. I feel like I'm so insensitive when I talk about how much I love Aaron Rodgers and how I'm obsessed with him, you know. And I know better because I was born and raised here all my life. And I'm a Bears fan. Like, if Packers, you know, go against the Bears, I'm 100% for the Bears. But I'm just, you know, a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. And when I say that I own a jersey, I get about 30 death stares. And my brother's threatening to burn it.
Yeah.
My brother's threatening to burn the jersey. And he's like, you better not show it in my face. I'm going to burn it. I'm just like, that's why I hide it. Like, so one day, if, you know, if the Aaron Rodgers just make it to the Super Bowl, I'll sell it for a lot of money. It's an official jersey, so
yeah,
going to make some money off of it.
You know, I over the summer, right before the season started, I have family that lives out in Green Bay, or right outside Green Bay, and so we ended up stopping at a Culver's right past the border of the Illinois-Wisconsin border, and I had my Devin Hester jersey on, and it just to see the, yeah, like you said, those death stares, like, how dare you intrude our, you know, sanctuary with your Bears Chicago crap, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just trying to use the bathroom, you know, like, hold on, it's... It's not that serious, you know, but...
Oh, my God, the train, anytime, like, I would take the L to school during my Loyola days, anytime anyone wore a Packers uniform, the whole train would just get so intense, and it would get cold. It would all of a sudden get colder, and it would get... It would just suddenly feel like the world was coming to an end for that poor person, that poor Packers fan.
Yeah.
I remember everyone staring at them. Oh, I remember I put my head down, like, for them, like... feeling embarrassed. Like, why would you come to a big city with, like, it was not even just sports fans. We're, like, crazy fans. We're, like, diehard fans. We're, like, even if they lose, we celebrate. Like, that's how we are, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're wearing a Packers outfit or, like, let's say, even, like, similar thing with White Sox and Cubs, you know, when I'm in the South Side, I'm wearing a Cubs gear. I mean, I get it. I mean, because I'm a woman, guys don't obviously threaten me, but, I mean, they're just, the looks that they give me, I was like, well, if you're a man, I beat the living daylights out of you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're crazy, we're Chicago, and everything we do is just bigger and amplified. So, so you going to, like, the border and wearing that jersey, it's like, well, I see them giving you those stares, but if it was, like, Packer fans with our fans, I mean, for sure we would, like, pound them. The Pope.
Yeah.
It's like an all-out war during the apocalypse.
And I'm all for, like, you know, I've been to plenty Cubs Sox series at the Cell. Never at Wrigley, but at the Cell. And I'm sort of embarrassed for Chicagoans the way that we behave against someone, you know, who's from a Cubs fan or Sox fan. It's just, it's almost like, come on. It's not that, you know... Like, yeah, like, I'm not a Cubs fan, but I don't hate the Cubs, but the sort of just brewing hate that people just have for each other, it's sort of embarrassing. It's like, really? You gonna channel that much energy? The Packers is a little bit different, but it seems like these rivalries have taken, you know, violent turns lately. I think last week, two Chicago Bulls fans were shot in Philadelphia for wearing Bulls gear on a train.
Something
happened to that effect.
I didn't even hear that.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, and that just sort of scares me. I'm like, you know what? That's really not worth getting shot over wearing a jersey of, you know, but yeah.
I'm sorry, didn't some guy get fired from his job for being a Packers fan not too long ago? Let me see if I can look this up. Yeah, no, I remember he got fired for being a Packer fan because the Packers beat the Bears. I think it was in last season. The Packers beat the Bears in one of the, you know, the games later in the season, and I think he just said something about, like, something like, you know, obviously pertaining to the idea that he was a fan to his boss, and his boss was, like, a diehard Chicago Bears fan. He just got fired on the spot.
Wow.
Yeah, it was all over the news. Let me see if I can find that. It gets to that extreme where people lose their jobs, you know?
I thought there was, like, a car sales guy who wouldn't wear his Packers tie or something like that. And,
Yeah, here it is. You know, this was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Packers fan fired over tie, doesn't want job back.
Right, yeah. That's a little bit different. You're working for an employer. They sort of control your dress attire, and like going to the game. That's, you know, you're sort of on your own. Use your discretion. often, a lot of times, people don't. But yeah, it's been a trying season for the Bears, so I'm just
You know what, my prediction, I mean, I am somewhat of a football fan. I do watch it when I can, but I'm usually not allowed in the living room when my brother's watching it. He won't let me go in there.
Yeah.
Because I just become an annoying sister and just purposely annoy him with questions, and he just kicks me out of the house, like, every so often. but, you know, So my prediction for the Bears season is that they have to fire Lovie Smith, get a whole new defense, get a whole new O-line, and a new offensive coordinator, and then maybe we have a chance of winning, maybe. And that's, like, when, like, that's not a new O-line. I mean, we have to keep Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler. They have a great relationship on the field. You see that. Like, it's pretty obvious when you watch the game, but we just need, like, a whole new, like, near makeover. I mean, this line, like, everything that we're doing this season worked perfectly for us back in 2007. But now with, like, all these players evolving, with dealing with all these, like, crazy quarterbacks like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, we're coming up with more new epic quarterbacks that are being produced.
Right.
And it's like, dude, we're pretty outdated. We're really outdated.
Yeah.
And I just look at the Bears, like, we were so popular 6 years ago. Like,
6 years ago is a lifetime.
Like, we were so 2007. Like, what? I don't know. Like, I mean, we just look like, we look like a CD-ROM next to, like, a Blu-ray CD, you know, or like an MP3 player. That's what we look like.
It's just
heartbreaking. That's why I haven't really followed up with them this season. I just knew. I had a feeling. I get vibes before every season, and they always come true.
Yeah.
So I wasn't feeling anything from the beginning. I didn't really watch many games. So.
Yeah. No, I agree that changes are going to have to happen. Unfortunately, if it's weird because it's like if they win, the same staff stays in place. Because you never hear of a head coach getting fired after making the playoffs. It just almost never happens.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I don't want them to lose, but I kind of, like, I don't want everybody to come back either. So it's like I'm torn. I'm like, so you just got to let it play out the way it's going to play out. I guess my prediction for 2013 is that Lovey does come back, but they have another offensive coordinator, which is going to make things worse. And I don't know. They keep drafting offensive linemen, but nothing's gonna happen. I gotta predict the same thing is gonna happen next year. It's just gonna be worse, and then that'll finally be the end of.
Oh, we're gonna have another crappy season because 13 is an unlucky number. I'm very superstitious, so I think that none of our teams are gonna do good.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the beginning of the bowl season because D Rose will be back. Hopefully, like definitely, like. For the full season. And you know what? I really don't think they should bring D Rose back this season. I think we're just being really selfish as Chicago fans to like want to see him play again because it's been pretty lackluster without him. But to be perfectly honest with you, like I just think that they should let D Rose fully recuperate, fully recover. I feel like he's doing this for his fans. He's not doing it because he feels 100%. Like he's not even all that confident. His injury is something that takes a full year or two of like complete rest to overcome and to become 100%. It's just like, I really think we should stop being selfish as Chicago fans and just let D Rose like recover fully before forcing him to come back halfway through the season. Because I think that, I don't know, the team's used to playing without him right now. And if he joins, it could throw them off a little bit. I mean, we're just so sporadic. We're like lost ants. On the court without him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they've been playing. The Bulls have been playing relatively well the last couple of weeks. I know they were struggling. I think they knocked off the Knicks, even though it was without Carmelo. They beat Brooklyn, I think, this last weekend. They've been beating some decent teams. But, I mean, obviously they're not as good without Rose as they would be with him. But I can't really foresee Derrick Rose coming back this year. I don't think they're going to take any chances. And plus, this is sort of a lost year anyways. A lot of contracts are going to expire come next year, and that's when the new crop of free agents and opportunities will be there. So I think that this is going to be another, sad to say, another lost year for the Bulls. And it's just, and I'm just so tired of just not winning. There's these other cities, New England, Boston, New York, even Los Angeles now. All these great cities that have consistent winning and, owners that are willing to spend and deal and take chances, and Chicago just has this reserve, let's sit back and wait and see what's going to happen philosophy that just never works, and I'm just tired of it. It's like we're a large market. It's not like we're broke or the owners are broke. Fans come out in droves to see these teams even when they're not good. You can't cry poor when the stands are full. So it just like
Yeah,
that's the
exactly.
thing that bothers me.
Yeah. And I think that's also why baseball has had such a low, this year, I don't know anyone that went to, I mean, personally, didn't know anyone that went to a Sox or Cubs game. I think people have just gotten sick of the lack of excitement in the baseball world, especially for Chicago teams.
Yeah.
Especially the Chicago Cubs. Obviously, it's always a sold-out game. It's, me as a Cubs fan, I think that's the one positive aspect of the Chicago Cubs, what they had going for them, or a couple of things, is such a legendary field and such a legendary location, and our fans, the fans are always present and always there to support. But my gosh, it's painful to watch them play, and I don't know. Like before, like just 5 years ago, there was so many people talking about the Cubs. This year, no one ever talks about them, and it's just so sad, and I'm scared that's going to happen with, well, no, football is, a huge American industry. It's just, it's a culture. But with baseball, it used to be a culture, and I feel like it's just become so outdated. And like I said, our teams are looking like CD-ROMs next to these, these new talents, and I don't know. It's, I don't know what to do.
I mean, that's a great
I'm just
analogy, by the way.
ranting.
Yeah, that's a
I'm
great
just ranting
analogy.
about. I'm just like ranting about our teams the past few years. I'm getting older. The last time the Cubs were even somewhat good, I was in high school. Now I'm turning 23, 24. My family's bothering me about getting married already. It's gotten ridiculous. By the time, will I have a gray hair by the time we become good? Who knows? We'll tune in for that. I don't know.
It's too much change for you at such a quick time.
Too much. I look at myself in high school and now I'm like, really, Cubs? Really? Come on, Chicago. Let's step it up a little bit.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Well, what was I mean? Well, spring training is right around the corner, so.
Another loss here with my
Well,
prediction for them.
You do know somebody that went to a Sox game. I went to like four, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that, but I mean, you're a Sox fan. To me, that's just good for you.
Well, we were leading the division most of the year, and then we got we just flamed out
Yeah,
at the end.
that's how you guys have been. You've been teasing your fans, and then you
I
just
know.
let them
Yep,
down.
that's what you gotta do to bring them back. Like we're almost there, knowing damn well you're not. It's but hey, at least we had some interest, unlike you other
Yeah,
folks.
at least there was some. Yeah, well, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that we have become CD-ROMs. I apologize for
It's all right. No apologies needed. All right. So,
that.
in case you've been hiding under a rock or in a cave, everybody's pretty much up to speed on the incident that happened in Newtown, Connecticut over the weekend, at the grammar school. It's one of those very, very tragic occurrences, and it seems like, unfortunately, that these gun, massacres are happening or occurring more often. Everybody remembers the theater incident in Aurora, Colorado, over the summer. There was a mall shooting, I think it was in Oregon, not even 2 weeks ago. Then, of course, the Jervon Belcher from the Kansas City Chiefs, who had his violent episode not even 2 weeks ago. It just seems like these gun incidents are happening more and more and more. And one of the main subjects of interest that people have been raising is the mental health of some of these murderers. And Here in Chicago, since I wouldn't say since Mayor Emanuel took over, because this was occurring when Mayor Daley was in there as well, but Mayor Emanuel hasn't really stopped it. But the closing of mental health clinics in the city, and it was interesting because there's one right on Milwaukee, maybe before Western, and one that closed up, and I just seen this in passing, and someone spray painted on the side of the door like "Mayor Emanuel, you lied," because I guess he probably was discussing that he might find money to keep some of these clinics open, but allow them closed. But it just sort of shocks me a bit because that's seems to be the focus. I mean, everybody the gun reform is always going to be something that's going to be talked about after these incidents, but the mental health clinics that actually have an impact on people's lives and may steer them away from a violent outcome. These are sort of the foundation to where these incidents end up or finish off at. And here we are, and we're not spending money on it. And I just want to. This is a article from the Catalyst Chicago, titled "At Schools, an Upsurge in Mental Health Crisis." The state's mental health crisis hotline for children has soared 37% over the past 5 years to nearly 42,000 calls in 2011. That's about 115 calls per day. And then if you scroll down further, they mentioned that there's only one counselor per 1,000 CPS students. And some of the counselors are quoted but not identified because of the fear they're losing their job, are saying that there's kids who are saying that they see ghosts or talk to ghosts or are suicidal, things of that nature. And then another startling a statistic is that Illinois ranks in the top five at number three with the most health cuts in the country, mental health cuts. It's like that's the exact recipe for developing a psycho to go into a school or go into any public forum and do bodily harm. And here we are cutting back instead of adding on.
And you know what? Actually, a couple years ago, when I was at my last year at Loyola, I took this advanced reporting course, which was basically my capstone course. It was like a final, it was like a more in-depth reporting class where we focused, where the entire class had a topic that we all had to report on. And ironically, it was mental health. In January of that year, that was the shooting in Arizona where it, where the congressman, what was her name?
Oh, Gabby Giffords.
Gabby Giffords was shot in the head, and it was caused by a deranged person, that had mental health. And we actually went in depth and did reporting on mental health issues, and there was talks about, Chicago closing down mental health clinics. And before I took this class, I was very like, oh well, whatever, like these people are crazy, it's their family's fault. I just was very ignorant about it. And when I took this class, I really realized how important it is to reduce the stigma about mental health and how it's such a common issue. I mean, so many people have poor mental health and don't even realize it, and their families don't even realize it. And it could develop into something more serious over time. Like schizophrenia isn't diagnosed when you're young, it's diagnosed basically in your adulthood. And if there's guns in the house and something snaps in your head, you might not have thought you were mentally ill before, but you can snap and grab a gun and go into a place and just shoot innocent lives and, ruin lives and ruin homes. And it's important to have these mental health clinics kind of open, because if you do feel like you're stressed out, or if you've been down and you have no one to really talk to, because a lot of families, especially my family, which is Middle Eastern, mental health doesn't exist. I mean, there's no such thing as schizophrenia, no such thing as depression. They think it's, the more east you go in the world, the more it's such a taboo to be mentally ill, and that they don't believe in psychologists. I mean, no one in my family has seen a psychologist because they don't believe in that. And I really think some people should have gone and seen a psychologist in my family. But, there's just such a stigma towards it. And especially if you're in a very ancient or Eastern culture where it's more old school medicine and old school, you know, old school reputation, you know, and it's so important for people to be open about being open about seeing, you know, a psychologist, and they don't want their money to be spent on a psychologist because they don't want their family knowing that they're seeing someone. And these home mental health clinics can really help people, encourage people to go out and get help. You know, if you prolong the process of seeking help or getting diagnosed, you're prolonging the process of seeking help. You're basically speeding up something more serious to happen.
Right.
So that's what all these shootings, if you go to these, like, you know, if you go in the news and see where all these happen, they happen in these cookie cutter suburban homes, you know, in these, you know, predominantly white, you know, American areas, at least these mass shootings. And obviously we're excluding Chicago and all these other cities where there's killings every single day. So with these mass shootings, it's like all in these cookie cutter areas. People have to be perfect. They have to live to a standard. It's very, you know, all-American. Like, things that you see in the movies with groupies, and there's bullying, and there's, you know, kids getting picked on that have mental health issues. It's troubling to know that kids can't seek help when they're being bullied or when they have broken homes. It's sad, and it's unfortunate that Chicago needs mental health clinics, I think. I mean, there's shootings every day, and there's people who come home and can't see their children because their children were shot in the street somewhere on the south side. You know, we need mental health clinics, and it's so important to recognize that your mental health should be just as important as your physical health.
Right.
And, you know, I can go on and on and on about this because I took this class and maybe got me more passionate about that subject. But, you know, it's just so sad that Chicago and, you know, just not even just Chicago, that Rahm Emanuel and all these, you know, all these aldermen and all these people that could have done something about it just didn't. And it wasn't as important as, I don't know, like, making Quarter Street look better in the summer. You know, instead of focusing on how the city looks, they should focus on the people, you know, and it's just so heartbreaking. That story definitely hits me.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
As I'm ranting about this, you know, it's just so sad. And to know that, you know, these clinics can also help children, like kids that are being bullied, that are depressed, to go out and seek help without their parents really, like, really knowing, and it would definitely help them deal with their own issues. And it's just come on, like, why would you close these places down? That's just so, they're closing a hospital down. Why would you want to close that down? People are sick. So that's my rant.
No.
Oh my God, I just went on like a 10-minute rant.
No, I completely I completely agree with that, and it's interesting that, you know, sort of bring it full circle to between Newtown and Chicago, is that the violence here in the city, and which was not interesting or ironic, but the same day that the Newtown incident occurred on Friday at night, it was, you know, the Tribune posted that, you know, six shot, four killed, you know, same day, and it's just like, here we are focusing on this small town in Connecticut, which many people probably can't even pick out on a map. And that's no disrespect either. But the third largest city in the country has a crime rate or a murder rate. According to police, crime is down, but murders are up. Like that makes everybody feel better. But it's just that the continuous, you know, the slow death of the city doesn't get the same attention or sympathy or compassion as a major incident in a small town in a rural suburb, you know. And it's, I don't know if that's fair or foul to compare the two, but it's, I just think that both deserve the same attention. And Chicago, during the summer, was getting a lot of attention from the major media, but it's like, it's gone away. It's like, oh, okay, there's something new overtakes it. And I think we're just so, you know, immune to the murders and the violence that we don't really have that same effect that we did when, the beginning of the year started, and now we're closing out 2012. And I'm not upset with anybody for comparing the two, or the lack of interest in one versus the other. I just think that they both deserve to be spoken about and in the same conversation.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that. And it's just in referring to that article, that you talked about earlier, saying like people talking about why Chicago isn't getting enough attention and why like Obama isn't like mentioning Chicago as a serious issue. And you also have to consider like as unfortunate as it is to say, like the demographics, like people just assume that there's a majority of minorities living in the city. They just assume that that's normal. Like there's gangs and then there's gun violences, and that's how it's supposed to be in the city. But when you go to these suburban areas where there's like less minority, where there's a less minority population, it's like when these things happen, it just becomes such. It's like a reality check, and I don't mean to say this in any ignorant, but it's sort of like a reality check for them. Like what happened to them is tragic and devastating, and it's disgusting and it's sickening. And so that's what goes through. That's what happens every single day in the city, and it's like it takes like issues like that or tragedies like that for the talk of gun violence or like gun control to come up. When it's like this should be something that should be discussed every single day, not when something happens on the news for a week and then you just forget about it.
Right.
You know, it's always like that. It's either we control the guns or we fix the people who hold the guns. You know, and look what's happening. We're closing mental health clinics, which cause people to just lead to lead to a last resort, which is violence, which is when they crack, they reach out to a weapon because gun control isn't being talked about either. So it's nothing's really being done about it. It's all talk, and instead, it's like all this focus is going on to, other cities that you can't pinpoint on the map, like you said. But the third largest city in the world, this happens every single day. One weekend there was like what, 26 deaths or 26 shootings over the summer.
Right.
No one really talked about that. It was just something that was put on social media and not on the news. So
yeah, it's just tough to swallow both. They're two different stories, but they're both tragic in their own right, but I mean, it's dealing with children, and it's the new town, of course, I'm referencing, and it's a lot more, I won't say sympathetic, but it's, the innocents versus those who are, I think the perception is that those who are shot in Chicago are, deserving because they're in the streets or it's gang related, so doesn't have, as much emotion to it as innocent children being, slaughtered. It's different stories, but I don't know. I don't know if that's fair or foul. I'm sort of in the middle of comparing the two, but either way, I think they both are up for discussion and how to remedy or make some sort of change. Something has to be done in 2013, nonetheless. Before we get out of here, Google put together their top 2012 searches trends throughout the year. I don't know if you saw the list, but can you guess the top celebrity that was searched in 2012?
Whitney Houston.
Oh,
I saw that.
Could have just guessed.
Oh, I could have just guessed. Okay, can I just guess?
No,
can I
never
guess
mind.
Now?
You already said it's correct.
No, okay. Oops, sorry. I totally ruined that.
No, it's I don't think that any of these really surprised me. I think the TV shows did. Big Brother Brazil 12 was the top trending show of the year. I'd never heard of this show, or even
I was looking at that.
Or even number two, Avenida Brazil. I guess another Spanish show. I have no idea. Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. I've heard much about this show. I haven't watched it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just filled with ignorance and humor, I suppose. The Voice.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of these shows.
The only one, Game of Thrones, I did see, and that's about it. That came at number six. Everything else, I'm surprised no Mad Men or even Walking Dead, considering that those
Walking
shows,
Dead, yeah.
I would thought those
Breaking
shows would have
Bad.
got way more trending, but apparently not.
See, I'm surprised American Idol's still even there. I stopped watching American Idol after who won? After Carrie Underwood won. I stopped watching it. And
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, I'm surprised because, like, obviously the voice is on there, but, like, X Factor is huge. It's, like, really huge. Like, I'm surprised that's not even on there.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of stuff that's I don't know. That's which makes me more suspicious than anything about this list. Top athlete was Jeremy Lin. I could buy that. Dude had a huge summer or April, May when he was making a splash with the Knicks. Some usual
I was
face.
annoyed by that.
I
I was
was
annoyed by
too.
these like I was annoyed by these like sports figures or these athletes all of a sudden becoming these like they're just forgetting about the game and just thinking about like focusing on like their background and like where
Yeah.
they came from. Like Tim Tebow, oh my goodness, I couldn't get away from that. I couldn't get
Surprisingly,
away.
that Tim Tebow didn't make the top 10 list, which I'm surprised that none. That's what also makes
Yeah,
me
this
suspicious.
is weird.
Yeah. Top feature film, Hunger Games. Skyfall was number 2, which I surprised at
What?
again.
Yeah,
Prometheus
what?
3. I would have thought the Avengers would have been 1. It's 4.
Where is Dark Knight? It's not even on here.
Wasn't even trending. We didn't trend in the
Oh
top
my.
10. Yeah.
That's bogus
I
town.
guess the
That's
rest of the
weird.
world doesn't agree with our likes and dislikes of
I
pop
know.
culture. That's pretty funny. But you can find a list of just like Google 2012 top searches. You'll find the Zeitgeist page. It's pretty interesting to see what people were and weren't watching and looking at for the rest of the, for the whole year. All right, so as we go into 2013, make a bold prediction. What do you think you will see if there is a 2013, of course? What do you have? What do you want to see, or what do you think will happen?
What I think will happen, a couple of things. I don't. It's really hard for me to envision 2013 because 2012 just had so many it's just so many things evolved this year. It went we had so many semi-apocalyptic events. Like they weren't really apocalyptic, but we had so many news stories that just shook the world. 2013, I hope, will be a positive year for us as a society. I'm hoping that there's good news, like maybe Rihanna might become less of the super singer and maybe consider another career full time. Maybe just become like a full time actress instead of just doing features, like the features in movies. I like to see her be in a movie. I like to see Rihanna act. I would also like, let me see. I'm trying to think. Oh, and another a hologram, maybe not Tupac, but another artist. I would love to see another I would see Aaliyah. I would love to see so many people passed away, unfortunately, but I want a full concert with just holograms. That's all I want. I would pay serious money to watch a hologram concert. I wouldn't mind paying a couple hundos just to see old people perform again.
So like the Beatles, back and forth with Paul
Yeah,
McCartney and
like think
George,
yeah.
yeah, George Harrison's still alive, isn't he?
Let's Google it. I do not know. Hold on.
I guess we can always look
I'm
him
gonna
up.
find out right now. Let's add another statistic to their
I know, right?
most search.
No, I can't. Apparently, he died. He died.
Apparently.
He died in 2001.
Oh yeah, he died.
Ringo's still alive. No, yeah, Ringo's still alive.
Yeah, Ringo
There you
is.
go. So he's got McCartney and Ringo and the rest of them hologram Beatles. Let's do
Yeah, let's get it on. Let's do it. I want to see Biggie, Tupac. I would love to see
Well, Tupac's already ready, so we just need
Yeah,
to.
Tupac's out
I don't know
there.
if there's enough pixels for Biggie though. I just.
They made a hologram about him, but yet he wasn't in the top 10 albums. top 10 songs in Rolling Stone. That makes no sense to me.
Oh, get
you
over
want to bring him back, but he's not on there.
Get over it.
No, I will never get that. Will not. 2013, I will still talk about this. I think my last words during the apocalypse would be, why wasn't Tupac in the top 10 songs?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, Tupac is cool. I mean, I like Tupac, but yeah, just we'll see what happens with that in 2013. I'm pretty sure he'll still be around and making music in some capacity somewhere. I don't know. My 2013. I'm gonna do a Mad Men prediction and say that Don and Joan. I don't know if you watch Mad Men at all. Don and Joan. Joan is Christine Hendricks. Who's the redhead, and people are, most men know who she is. They're gonna hook up. That's my bold.
You think so?
Yeah, somewhere down the line, it's gonna happen.
Pretty ambitious. We'll see.
It's gonna happen. It has to happen.
Okay, we'll watch. We'll see.
I'm gonna say Jay Electronica drops an album in 2013 somewhere. Don't ask me when, but he will. Let me see. Let me think about it as well. I think the fiscal cliff is going to go a lot longer than people wanted to. That's my bold January prediction. Let's see what else. The iPad 4 is going to look like a spaceship. And it's going to be as close to the Jetsons as we'll ever get. And I don't know. I think that's about as far as I'm gonna go. And of course, and my bold prediction is that Vivian and I will actually have a live show on Vocalo sometime next year.
Let's hope so. Let's hope for that too.
that's
really ambitious, but let's see.
That's my
hopefully we'll replay this.
So Mad Men, Jay Electronica, iPad spaceships, and live Vocalo show. That's my bold prediction.
Let's hope so.
All right, so it's been such a pleasure to do these, closing out the last part of this year with you joining me, Vivian. So I look forward to 2013 and what it brings.
Oh, me too. I'm so glad to have talked about all these issues, you know, end of the year, because no one wants to talk about depressing stuff at the end of the year, but we can count on us to talk about it. But yeah, it's been lovely working together, and let's hope that the new year will bring much more success.
Absolutely.
To both of us.
Absolutely. I remember you can follow Vivian on Twitter at Vivian or Viv _ status. there you go. Viv _ status. And then me at IamSquareOne. But that's going to change. I'm going to make a bold move and change my handle. I've had the same handle for about 2 years, but I think it's time to do something different. I haven't decided what it's going to be, if it's going to be my real name or, you know, something cool like, you know, Top Gun. I don't know. You know, I have the Top Gun avatar. I just had someone ask me today if the Tom Cruise in my avatar was me. I think that's hilarious.
Oh. That's a good thing. I mean, I want to be I will both be mixed up as, like, Kim Kardashian or something,
yeah,
you know? That would be great.
Is that you flying fighter pilots? Only on the weekends, dear. but yeah, so look, I'll keep people posted when I do make the change, but it's forthcoming. Once again, follow us on vocalo.org. You can listen to this show, and also on mybsiteblog.com, mixcloud.com. We do have the Facebook page, the Weekend Wrap Up Mix Show presented by Vocalo, so look for that as well. Become a friend, like us, and help us move towards live status. That'd be appreciative of that. All right, so that's going to be our time this week and this year. So hopefully everybody has a great holiday and a great and safe new year. Same to you as well, Vivian, and we'll see you guys in 2013. Later.
You too, Gabe. We'll see ya.